Let us open our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 20. Numbers, chapter 20. We'll read the first part of that chapter and the last part. Numbers 20, the verses 1 to 13, and then 22 to 29. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And then we turn to verse 22. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. In the weeks leading up to Good Friday, we often meditate on the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus. And this morning we wish to go to Mount Hor in the Old Testament to meditate on the death of the high priest. And so our text this morning is Numbers 20, the verses 24 to 28, but I'll read just verse 28. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. Dear congregation of Bornholm, when someone dies, that's a momentous thing. After all, at death, time is exchanged for eternity. We come to meet God. What is the way to die comfortably? That is what is told us in this passage before us of the death of Aaron. Numbers 20, verse 28. Now, it's not often that we read of the death of the righteous. We read often about the death of the wicked. We read often of the death of the ungodly. We read of Pharaoh who drowned at the Red Sea, of Absalom with his hair caught in the tree, of Jezebel thrown out a window, of Haman hung on the gallows, of Herod eaten by worms. We don't read much of the death of the righteous. But when we do well to take heed of what we see there so that we can learn what actually is the way to die comfortably and happily. And we're told something of that when we come to the death of Aaron. That's what you can write over the sermon this morning, the death of Aaron. He dies, first of all, not as high priest. And secondly, but not without a high priest. The death of Aaron, first of all, not as high priest. Secondly, not without a high priest. It's true, there have been many deaths in the congregation of Israel. Many graves have been dug as they traveled through the wilderness, having left Egypt behind them on their way to the promised land. But there has been no death like this death before us this morning, that the congregation, as told us in verse 29, mourned for 30 days. Who has died? Aaron. No, he is not a stranger to the people of Israel, and he's not a stranger to us. But what can we say of him? Well, for one thing, he's a man with gifts. He's a man with gifts. I suppose we could point to a number of gifts that Aaron had received from the Lord, but the first thing that the Lord says of him when we meet him in Exodus is that he has the gift of speech. After all, Moses, when the Lord called him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, then Moses said to the Lord that he felt himself slow of speech and of a slow tongue. But then the Lord said that Aaron, his brother, who could speak well, for whom it was not difficult to put words together, that Aaron, his brother, would be the spokesman to Pharaoh. God would use his mouth in the service of the Lord. But that is no small task, to come with the word of the Lord to an enemy of the Lord, like Pharaoh, and to say to such an enemy of the Lord, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." No, that is no small task when you have the gift of speech, to use that gift rightly, to use your mouth rightly. Isaiah the prophet would later on say that he was a man of unclean lips, and Aaron would have to say it too. But the Lord wanted to make use of this gift of speech. That is the first thing we can say of Aaron. He was a man with gifts. Secondly, he was a man with a calling. A man with a calling. You could say that of the whole tribe of Levi, for they were all set apart for the service of the Lord, but the priests would be of the sons of Aaron, and Aaron himself would be high priest. Yes, Aaron was given a special calling among the people of Israel as high priest. And you could tell that, boys and girls, that Aaron had that special calling because he wore special clothes. He had the blue robe that he wore, and at the bottom of the robe, bells were attached announcing his walking among the people of Israel. He had the breastplate with all the names of the tribes of Israel that he wore. He had a mitre on his head with those words, holiness unto the Lord. He was a man with a special calling indeed, a man who was to pray on behalf of the people of Israel. Pray for that people who so often would not pray for themselves. And on the great day of atonement, once a year, he was to come with blood into the sanctuary and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people. How else could God dwell among this people unless their sins were covered? Blood needed to be shed, pointing to the blood that the Lord Jesus would shed. Yes, and Aaron the high priest, in his service, was to portray something of the ministry of Christ. Thirdly, he was not only a man with gifts and a man with a calling, but he was a man with sins. He was a man with sins that showed in his life. He was a sinner. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 counts also for Aaron. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Aaron also was a sinner. For there was that time when the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai. Remember, boys and girls? And Moses has gone up the mountain to speak with God and to receive the tables of the law of the Lord. And Moses was in the mountain for 40 days. And the people began to wonder what had happened to Moses. And they wondered, now, how will they get to the promised land? And they insisted that Aaron make a golden calf. Yes, that he would fashion a golden calf who would be their God to bring them into the promised land. And Aaron does not even put up a fight. He simply does it. He gathered their golden earrings, he melted the metal into the shape of a calf, and a great feast was held to engage in the idolatry and sin that the people had asked for. Aaron did not rebuke the people. He could have. He could speak well. He had the gift of speech. He could have reminded them of the law of God and of the commandments of the Lord and of all the goodness that the Lord had shown to them and of his care for them, but Aaron did not. Nor did he tear his robe or weep and pray for the sin of the people. Instead, he gave in to the temptation and led the people of Israel further into sin. And when Moses later came down from the mountain and confronted his brother Aaron, Aaron did not even confess to his sin, but he lied and he cast the blame upon the people. Was this man to be the high priest? He certainly was a high priest who needed pardon himself, for he was a sinner. And that revealed itself again in the 20th chapter of Numbers when they came to Kadesh. We read that in the opening verses of this chapter. And there is not enough water for the people, that the people begin to grumble again. Moses and Aaron fall on their faces before the Lord, asking the Lord what they must do. And the people are to gather together, and Moses and Aaron are to speak to the rock, for the Lord will give them water. He is going to show his mercy to an undeserving people so that they might be ashamed of their complaining and of their unbelief. But Moses is angry. Angry at the people. The patience of the meekest man of the earth has a limit. Moses has had enough. 40 years of putting up with this rebellious people. And so Moses rebukes the people. It's not something the Lord had commanded him to do. And he raises his hand, and with his rod in his hand, he smites the rock 2 times, and then the water gushes out. and the people may drink. But Moses and Aaron went about it all wrong. And that has consequences, that the Lord says in verse 12 of this chapter, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Yes, that's quite a sin that they are guilty of misrepresenting God. Not only the sin of unbelief, but of misrepresenting God. When you do not present God as He is, and how easily we can do that, maybe as a father or a mother punishing our children for their disobedience, but then punishing them harshly, and you forget how patient the Lord has been to you, and kind He has been to you, and that He is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. It's a great sin to misrepresent God. And Moses was guilty, and Aaron was guilty, who should have stopped his brother, just like he should have stopped the people of Israel from their idolatrous plans at Mount Sinai. But he did not stop the people, and he did not stop Moses, and therefore Aaron was guilty too. And as punishment, Moses and Aaron may not enter into the promised land. And when the congregation of Israel has journeyed to Mount Hor, the time has come for Aaron to die. Moses must take Aaron, his brother, and Eleazar, his son, up the mountain of Hor. What a blessing if on our dying day some loved ones accompany us to the border between life and the life to come, where at that border they must let us go. Aaron, he may have his brother accompany him to that border, and he may even have his son, Eleazar, accompany him. And while the people have gathered at the base of Mount Hor, these three men start climbing the mountain. Aaron, with his brother Moses, and his third oldest son, Eleazar. You see them going. The people of Israel must have watched in silence, except for maybe the voice of a young child saying, "Daddy, where are those men going?" And the father says, "Let's wait and see." And the people can see them go. And they see Aaron go, his blue robe, his breastplate on, the mitre on his head, and they hear the bells on his garment. And I think in silence this climb up Mount Hor is made. And what's going to happen? Three things are going to happen. For one thing, something solemn. Something solemn. Aaron is going to die, not as a result of a terrible sickness or disease. Aaron could have lived many more years yet. He was not sick. He was going to be taken as an older man, true, but as a healthy man. And we can sometimes ask that, why was this loved one taken out of this life? He had yet so many years that he could have lived yet. Why, actually? Because the Lord said it was his time. That's how it is here. Aaron must die. And that's a solemn thing, isn't it? To receive your wages, to breathe your last breath and to die. Yes, that is a solemn thing to receive your wages. I mean, as Romans 6 verse 23 puts it, the wages of sin is death. And then to have to appear before God. Death brings us into eternity. And then it will be eternal well or eternal woe. That's solemn, isn't it? Aaron must have felt that too. But there's not only something solemn, there's also submission. Secondly, Aaron shows submission. Aaron does not try to escape. Aaron does not try to run away and flee from Mount Hor, going in the opposite direction. No, Aaron doesn't do that. Aaron doesn't protest. Aaron doesn't say, but Lord, why me and why now? Lord, I have borne with this people for so long as I could. I've done as much as I could for this people in the hope that one day I could enter into that promised land and see it for myself. And now we're so close. Lord, is there no way that I can enter the promised land? That's what Moses will do when he prays to the Lord in Deuteronomy 3 verse 25. Let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan. But Aaron doesn't ask. Aaron doesn't run away either. Aaron doesn't protest. Instead, Aaron submits in silence to the Lord. We don't hear Aaron, that eloquent speaker. We don't hear him speak now. He holds his peace. He has learned that is best. It's what the Lord has taught him. Remember earlier on, almost 40 years ago now, when he and his sons were ordained priests, they had just been ordained to the ministry and service of priesthood. But his sons Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire before the Lord. And then fire came out of the presence of God and devoured them. And they died in the front of the sanctuary. The two oldest sons of Aaron died. And Aaron held his peace. Yes, he submitted then in silence to the Lord because he sees with the psalmist, O God, most holy is thy way, most perfect, good, and right. Or as another psalmist puts it in Psalm 39, I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. You see, he is God, and he does whatever he pleases. And Aaron bears it patiently and submits to the justice and the wisdom of God. He did that then, some 40 years before, and he does it now and here. And I wonder this morning, have you learned to submit and surrender to God and to His ways? And have you learned to submit in faith? At times, maybe, when there could have been so many questions, and there may have been many questions, in the midst of your trials and in the midst of those painful providences, when the Lord led you away that you had not counted on, and there were so many thoughts that go through your soul and questions. But have you learned with Aaron and with the greater than Aaron to say, if this is the way that I must go, not my will, but thine be done. Have thine own way. Have thy own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. And can we not ask for grace to submit to his ways and to say it with Asaph? Yes, most holy is thy way, most perfect, good and right. Submission. But then there's a third thing yet. Now there's not only something of solemn and submission, but there is a stripping. A third thing yet, before Aaron dies, he is stripped of his high priestly clothes. He cannot die in his position as high priest. After all, his work has been stained by so many sins and shortcomings, and that's why the garments must come off. They must be taken off. And Aaron does not do that himself. No. Man does not put aside his own worthiness of himself. Aaron doesn't. But Moses does. His brother who first clothed him, Exodus 29 tells us, who first clothed him with these garments, he now strips these garments from him. The mitre is taken off. The breastplate with the 12 stones is taken off. The beautiful blue robe with the bells is taken off. Everything is taken off, so that the one who dies here is not Aaron, the high priest, Aaron, the man whom the people of Israel looked up to so much, Aaron, the man who could go into the sanctuary and could go into the Holy of Holies and could come before God on behalf of the people. No, Aaron has been released from his office. He's no longer Aaron, the high priest. The man who could go into the Holy of Holies, the man who prayed for the tribes of Israel, Aaron clothed with so much honor. No, it's not Aaron the high priest that dies. It's Aaron the man, Aaron the sinner that dies. Aaron the poor and naked sinner. He's stripped. Yes, death ultimately strips us. Job had seen that. We're told about that in Job chapter 1, where naked came I into this world, and naked shall I depart it. And when a soldier in the army is captured by the enemy, then he is stripped of his rank, he's stripped of his titles. That's what death does to us. At death, all that we did will not help us. All the good that others may say of us will not help us. How eulogies may be uttered, how people have done this and others have done that. When we die, all the honors that we may have had in our home, all the honors that we may have had in our work, all the honors that we may have had in our life are taken off from us. When we must meet God, then the black suit of the pastor goes off. Then the black suit of the elder and the deacon is put off. And then we don't die as a Sunday school teacher or as a minister or as a worker in our work clothes, but we die as a poor and naked sinner. Have you come to see that? Have you come to reckon with this? So that you say with Paul in Philippians 3, what things were gain to me, those I counted loss, and I count all things but loss. You see, Paul had been stripped by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit to count all things but dung. Those things before his conversion, of course, but also the things after his conversion, his love for souls, his prayers for his people, his preaching, he's learned to count it all loss. Is that how it is for you? Or are you still clinging to it, still clinging to your accomplishments, clinging to how you have tried to live a decent life. You certainly are better than others. How you've tried to be a good husband and a good wife and a good child, and how well you've been towards others. Are you like that man who came to the wedding feast with his own wedding garment? He thought that that robe was good enough. Are you still clinging to your own righteousness? Or have you been slowly, maybe, but surely, stripped of it all? That's how it was for Aaron. Those high priestly garments have to come off, and that's how Aaron now must die. Or not. Just a few breaths, maybe. And then he gives up the ghost. No. That's not what it says. Yes, Aaron must die. And Aaron has been stripped. But before he dies, something else happens. Before he dies, our text tells us that Eleazar is clothed as high priest. It's true. Aaron may not die as high priest, but he does not need to die without an high priest. That's our second point. For those high priestly garments are not folded up and put to the side so that Eleazar and Moses can bury Aaron, and afterwards Moses can pick up those clothes again and take them back down to the camp under his arm. If that's how it would go, how would Aaron die then? If he has to meet God, his judge, and if he has no advocate with the Father, and if he has no one to plead for him, what then? After all, there are those sins in Aaron's life and those remaining infirmities. And without an advocate with the Father, then Aaron must perish forever. But those high priestly garments are not put aside. They're not folded up neatly and laid aside somewhere on Mount Hor. No, Moses puts them on Eleazar first. The blue garment with the bells, the breastplate with the tribes of Israel, the mitre upon his forehead. That means there is a high priest on Mount Hor. And then high priest Eleazar can pray for this poor and naked sinner for his father Aaron. It means that the ministry of reconciliation continues so that as Aaron goes into eternity, he has a high priest who carries him on his heart and who prays for him. And while Aaron must confess a mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, that stream of sin that continued to flow from his heart, there even at Kadesh at the beginning of this chapter, the remaining infirmities that were there till his last breath, but while he must confess, a mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day, he also may confess, but thou in thy great compassion wilt purge my guilt away. There is a high priest on Mount Hor. And that's how Aaron can die. Did you notice that? It says, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. It doesn't say, and Aaron panicked. And it doesn't say, and Aaron tried to flee and run away. We do not hear Aaron crying to the mountains and to the rocks to fall on him. No, Aaron may die in peace because there was a high priest with him on Mount Hor. Do you see how a sinner can die in peace? Only with such a high priest. with that high priest who we cannot, you see, understand. We cannot stay with Eliezer, but we must go to the high priest who came in the fullness of time. Not a high priest then after the order of Aaron, but a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who had to climb another mountain, not Mount Hor, but Mount Golgotha, who was not only the high priest to bring a sacrifice, but who was the sacrifice himself, the Lamb of God himself, who let his clothes be taken from him, and who hung on the cross as high priest to make reconciliation for the sins of a poor and needy people, who died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, Peter says, who died, but who rose again, and who is now at the right hand of his Father. And the writer to the Hebrews says that he is a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He never wrongly represented his Father. He never wrongly portrayed the Father. He could say something that Aaron could not say. Aaron could not say, I have glorified thee on the earth. But Jesus could. And he did say it in John 17, verse 4. This high priest who is able to save to the uttermost all those that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7, verse 25. That's how sinners can die. Do I need to give other illustrations? An illustration like James, the first disciple who was taken out of this life by the sword of Herod? Or Peter, of whom tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down? He will have remembered those words that the Lord Jesus spoke to him before, that there would be that hour of temptation, and there had been so many hours of temptations when he was in temptation and trials. But how would Peter be able to stand? The high priest said to him, I have prayed for thee. But then you see, you do need a bond to him. He does need to become your high priest. We do not have a bond with him automatically. There must come a saving bond worked by the irresistible Holy Spirit, so that you come to see yourself indeed as you are, guilty, a sinner, and seeing the separation that there is between you and God, and seeing that you are stripped before him whose eyes penetrate into the deepest and darkest recesses of your heart, so that you need a high priest and Savior. You need someone to carry you on his heart, and you need his blood to be reconciled to God and taking refuge to him by faith, worked by the Spirit. And he takes you under his care, and he goes with you through life, and he goes with you, so that when you have to climb that mountain and when you have to die. But did you not say, Pastor, that death strips us of everything? Yes. Aaron must have felt that. Of himself, a poor and naked sinner. But the Lord strips a guilty people, not to leave them stripped and naked, but in the words of 2 Corinthians 5, that earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house from heaven, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, and having a robe of righteousness, which Christ has merited and purchased by his life and his death. And that's why John may tell us in the last book of the Bible, when he's given a glimpse of the redeemed, that they are all clothed, that they have robes made white in the blood of the Lamb, and they serve him day and night in his temple. Let me now draw three lessons in closing. three lessons in closing. First of all, God's people remain poor sinners till the day of their death. God's people remain poor sinners till the day of their death. Aaron feels that. He's a poor sinner and nothing at all. He's naked. His reason to be ashamed at his life and at his death when he looks back. I know when the Lord begins to work in your life, and you, dear people of God, who know the grace of God and the Spirit's operation in your soul, when the Lord began to work in your life, then you had high hopes of living for the Lord and for the honor of the Lord. But you found something different. You found that you have still so many remaining infirmities in you, as our Lord's Supper form says it. Aaron must have confessed that too. Job would say that too. Behold, I am vile. Paul would say, I am carnal, sold under sin. And Aaron could say it with Paul, the good that I would. Also the good that I would at Kadesh, I do not do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that I do. That's what John Newton said, that converted slave trader who became a preacher of the gospel. That man who had high expectations too at the outset of the Christian life. But he wrote later, I have lived hitherto a poor sinner, and I believe I shall die one. I was ashamed when I began to serve the Lord. I am more ashamed of myself now, and I expect that I will be most ashamed of myself when He comes to receive me to Himself. Aaron feels it. John Newton felt it. And all of God's people will feel it, as we must die. But why this feeling? Is that now the Christian life? I know there are many people in the Christian church that is not the Christian life. There are many so-called Christians who can boast of how far they've come, how good they've lived, how many successes they've had in the Christian life, but not Aaron, and not John Newton, and not the true people of God. How can they die then? How could Aaron die then? He's a poor sinner, yes, but he has a rich Savior. He has a high priest. He has an intercessor with the Father. Or in the words of 1 John 2, if any man sin, yeah, what then? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That first of all. God's people remain poor sinners till the day of their death. Secondly, how different is the death of the godly from the ungodly? How different is the death of the godly from the ungodly? Yes, indeed, Aaron dies here. But others have died from the people of Israel, and it wasn't all that long before that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram died by their tents, number 17. Tells us about it. And the people at the beginning of this chapter are wishing that they would have died with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. These leaders who set themselves against Moses and Aaron, against those who were put in places of authority by God. But that cannot go well. No, it cannot go well with those who remain rebels. That's why the Lord said that the people had to move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And the time came that the earth opened up her mouth and the earth swallowed them up. These men went down. Or as the Lord Jesus would say of that man who had no wedding garment on, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These sinners set themselves against the Lord and the Lord's anointed ones, so that when it came time for them to die, they had no high priest, and they went down into outer darkness. Is that how it will be for you? My dear unconverted friend, will you die without a high priest? That you will go down, that you will be cast away because you push the high priest away who comes to you this morning and who offers his grace to you and says you may receive what Aaron received. You see, Aaron, the sinner that he was, had a high priest and he went up. I know. Sometimes God's people with Asaph in Psalm 73 can be envious of the wicked. And it seems that the wicked seem to prosper and have it so easy in life and good in death. But the Lord knows how to put everything clear. And then Asaph saw it, that the wicked are in slippery places. They're at the edge of a cliff. They don't realize it. And one little push and they are down, cast down to destruction. How are they brought in desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. But the children of God, the hand of God holds them continually. Thou shalt hold me by thy right hand. They are guided by his counsel and afterward received to glory. And thirdly, what does God do when God's children die? What does God do when God's children die? Yes, they die. But did you notice what the Lord says two times when he speaks of the death of Aaron in verse 24 and verse 26? There it says, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. He must go through the door of death alone. But then he will not be alone, for then he will be gathered with the church triumphant, the church of God that is saved to sin no more, where there will be no more remaining infirmities, no more sin, no more murmuring, where God's people will be free to serve him forever as a priest with a pure heart. But how will he get there? Will Aaron bring himself there? No. It doesn't say that Aaron will do this. Aaron is passive. The Lord will gather. The shepherd of Israel will gather him. After all, he has gone to gather the lost and straying sheep unto himself. One of them was Aaron. And now the time has come for him to be gathered with that people that is saved to sin no more. How will the Lord gather him? With love. Aaron, he has a high priest after all. And then with such a high priest, it can be said in the words of Isaiah 54, verse 7, with great mercies will I gather thee. And then you cannot go lost, can you? When you have to go the way of death, and how fearful God's people can be. But the eye of the high priest is upon his people. Yes, they may be assaulted. They may be tossed with tempests. But they may pray, abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. And that's why they're safe, because the high priest carries them on his heart. He cannot leave them. He will not forsake them. He will bring them home at last. It's reason to be jealous, don't you? And it's reason to pray. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation. Lead me unto thy habitation, where 'neath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. And then, why don't we sing along? Then at thy sacred altar bending. Amen.